Welcome to the third episode of DSL Cast. I have with me here today Max Schechter. He's a senior at Cornell University, a good friend of mine, and he is graduating in a week, so congratulations on that.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
You got a job all lined up, right?
I do. I'm going to be a field organizer on a campaign, so I will be working really hard to recruit volunteers and bother lots of people and get them to vote.
How much of that is like knocking on doors? How much of it is talking on the phone?
So I haven't started the job, so I don't know exactly, but what you just said, talking on the phone and knocking on doors, those are definitely the biggest components.
Yeah.
Knocking on doors, you typically do just on weekends until maybe the couple of weeks before the election. Mm-hmm. Phone banks, you can do every night. So phone banking will probably be more of it.
Is it a congressional election?
It's a Senate race.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll be all around the state?
No, I'll have what's called a TURF, so just like my area of Northern Virginia that I'll be in charge of. They'll probably, because Northern Virginia is so crowded, is such like a densely populated area, there'll probably be a few people who share my TURF. And then
shit on your TURF?
Share my TURF.
Share your TURF.
Yeah, now I have to enunciate. I'm on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
it's okay.
Yeah. No, yeah, so we'll be knocking on doors around Northern Virginia, bothering people. But I like it. So that was the part of the campaign. There are lots of people hate campaign work. But then lots of people who don't hate campaign work only like their very specific type of it.
Mm-hmm.
So last summer I did opposition research, which a lot of people love. You know, you get to do all this research.
Yeah,
into like,
yeah.
And I hated it. It's just like, I think it was really interesting, but it was not my passion. But also I did some
field
work.
What about it did you hate? Just sitting at a computer instead of being out on the streets?
No, I don't mind that.
Not interacting with other people?
Like... So, I think that by necessity, even though I was actually surprised at how not dirty it was, like, we didn't look through their trash or anything. It was all trying to find, like, public records and looking through speeches like, in public. And when we were saying that we only wanted to see stuff that had been said in public because that was the stuff that he was making a stand on.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, but it just still felt like...
I was picturing, like, some follow the money shit.
And there actually was a lot of looking up donors to make sure
it
was all legit and seeing what their expenses were.
Okay, but this is interesting stuff. I can see why people like it.
Yeah, I can definitely see why people like it, but it just didn't feel like...
Did it feel grimy to you?
It didn't feel like the way I wanted to win the election.
Yeah.
And,
you
know, I want to talk to voters and tell them why they should be voting for the candidate, not spend all my time looking into the other candidate and try to find reasons to not vote for them. It just, you know, if you're going to work on a campaign... You are working long hours for not a lot of money.
Right.
You need to have that motivation. And for me, the negativity doesn't motivate me. It's got to be the naive, the like pie in the sky, like we're going to make a difference sort of stuff that actually gets me.
What percent would you say is that? What percent is you're hoping to get a job after the campaign ends? And what percent is actual the pay of the work?
Well, I definitely want to get a job, although... the likelihood of me getting a direct job as a result of this campaign for the candidate I'm working for is probably pretty slim, if I'm being honest, because he's a senator and I'm the lowest person on the totem pole. He already has a staff. It's not like if you're working on a campaign with, you know, running for city council and you're one of a few people on the staff on the campaign, they're probably going to be able to hire you. Not everyone on the campaign will be able to be hired by this guy.
Yeah,
but hopefully if I do a good job, I meet a lot of people, they see me doing a good job. I'll get a job somewhere.
Okay, so what percent is general you're looking to out for yourself for after the campaign? What percent is you really want to win this campaign?
I think, like, you know, maybe I'm just saying this, but I think it's actually really what I want to do.
I think that's great. That's like, probably true for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think on campaigns in particular, like, realistically, I'm going to go to law school in a year or two, probably.
Okay.
So this was, I gave a lot of thought about, like, if I'm going to law school in a couple years... Why not do stuff that I really feel good about? Like, I have a friend who I actually talked to who did a gov degree who is a paralegal in D.C.
Yeah.
And he does not like being a paralegal. And I was just like...
Just because he's the bottom on the totem pole?
I don't know. It's just not fulfilling for him.
Yeah.
And
I
was like...
That's kind of a bitch job.
It is. But realistically, most of the jobs I would get...
Lawyer jobs are mostly bitch jobs.
It's true.
Yeah.
So, like... So I decided, I was like, if I'm going to law school in a few years... Or a year, I'm going to do something I feel really good about. Even if the pay is bad and the hours are horrible, but, like,
Right.
I think that for me, like,
you're definitely motivated by that.
By fulfillment. Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's cool.
It's, I don't know. It's definitely what gets me up in the morning.
I've been thinking a lot about what I want to do for the rest of my life, you know?
Good thing to think about.
And I have a hard time balancing, like, so many different aspects of the job. Like, who you're working with, what the company's values are, where it's located, what your day-to-day job functions are. Like, what if I'm working for, like, a solar panel company that I'm totally driving with, but I'm just, you know, copying data from one spreadsheet to another for 9 hours a day?
Yeah.
Like, that would be...
Yeah,
worse for me than working for an oil company.
That's interesting. I think that everyone has their sort of mix of what they need for the job. Like, there are people, someone I live with is going to be an accountant next year.
Yeah,
he's studying.
Jason Haas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's studying to be a CPA.
I've talked to him about it. He's into it.
He likes it. You know, he says the numbers add up.
Yeah,
you know, there are rules and
he
follows them.
Spending time by himself.
He's
not looking for. Like, to talk to other people. It's
exactly. And he also doesn't think he'll do it forever, which is interesting.
Right, right.
But it's a really good-paying job.
And he can do it almost right out of college.
Yeah. And so...
He needs to get a license, but...
He does, but he's studying for CP. I mean, he has a job.
He's doing it
going to work
at
Ernst & Young. Like, it's really impressive.
Right.
But the things that motivate
him... And
if you're
CP at a top firm, that's a different story also.
Yeah. But he's like... It just... The things that motivate him clearly aren't the things that motivate me, and... I think everyone just has their percentages.
I don't think he's just doing it for the money either, though. I think he enjoys that work.
I think he does, but I think that he... And we've had a lot of talks about,
I mean,
like,
if he just liked crunching money or crunching numbers and wanted the money, he'd go into iBanking.
Maybe, but, like, I think we've talked a lot about, like, degrees are for, kind of.
Yeah.
And his was much more, like, about finding a job and... working and the money, which is, like, I think a high percentage of
totally
people.
Fine.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
Why people work.
Yeah, but
I'm not gonna disparage that.
Exactly, for sure. But I just, like, maybe I'm young and naive, and one day I'll hear this and be like, wow, this was before, like, you realized how the world works.
I act on the assumption that I'm young and naive.
Yeah,
I've never
sure.
had a full-time, long-term job.
Yeah.
I worked full-time for 10 weeks last summer, and that was the most I'd ever worked in my life. So I'm not gonna pretend to know what I'm talking about. I'm thinking about it because it's
necessary. Like, I don't know. I remember in this very house, in AEPI, I was talking to, when I was a sophomore, to John Lesser and Matt Lerner.
Yeah.
And they were talking to me about law schools and about how, like, if you're not, like the path, like, you go to law school, you go to a big firm, like, all this stuff. And I was like, I'm not sure if that's what I want. And, like, they basically, it was like a conversation of, like, wow, we might, like, it was when I realized that, oh, maybe I don't have the same motivations as, like, all my friends. Like, we all might be slightly different in this way.
Yeah.
It was actually a pretty eye-opening moment.
Matt Lerner, I feel like, is the opposite of you.
I don't know. I think public service is something that I really want to do down the road.
Yeah.
And I think public service is also something he wants to do down the road.
Right. But beyond that.
I think we're going to go in very different ways about it, but... So,
I think he wants to go into politics as a politician.
I know. Yeah, I think so.
Do you want to do that also?
I don't know, but I definitely could see doing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I want to, I'd love to be able to influence policy, and it's one of the best ways to do it is to be the policymaker.
Yeah.
I think we probably have different motivations even beyond, like...
I feel like he wants it. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate.
I don't know. No, but
I honestly don't know him that well.
Yeah. No, I think we have some similar thing. But, like,
okay.
But everyone has different motivations for what they want to do after college. And, like, I think people just have different things that they value. I don't know. It's really been funny this week. Like, so I was a big proponent of not asking what people were doing next year. Because it's a terrible question.
Yeah, you get, like, sick of it so quickly.
Yeah,
no, it's like hearing what's your major as a freshman.
Yeah. But
worse, because it's like so much is weighing on
exactly.
It.
And, like,
make
up until, like, a couple weeks ago, I had
You're doing that?
Yeah, so I was...
I still got nothing for the summer. I've got my job interview tomorrow.
Yeah, but now, like, it's the last week, like, classes are done. I really want to know, like I know where all my friends are going to be next year, but then, like, sort of that next level of, like, acquaintance friend... but I'm trying to figure out ways to find out without, like, just being rude and asking them.
Where are you going to be living?
That is unclear. I'm going to be, so my job doesn't start till July, and my parents live in D.C.
Yeah.
And it's, the job's going to be in Northern Virginia, so I'm going to move.
Wait, so you're working July to November?
Yep.
Are you just going to live with your parents?
I would.
That seems like the obvious choice, right?
We'll see. If I could find a situation that I'd be able to live near the campaign and, like, in sort of like a month.
Where's the campaign based at?
That's the problem. It's not clear where I'll be positioned yet.
Where's the headquarters?
Headquarters is in Fairfax, Virginia, I think.
Okay.
And I know I'm going to be in Northern Virginia, but we're going to have.
Oh, I assumed you were doing the Maryland Senate race.
No, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're from Maryland, though.
I am from Maryland, and I love Maryland, but there's no Senate race this year.
You're right.
And okay. I've actually worked in Virginia politics before. Just over the river.
Yeah.
So.
In that area, do you kind of think of, like, that whole area is just one area, not as separated by state lines?
No, like, I like the Mid-Atlantic a lot. Like, I'm a big Maryland fan, and I extend that to Virginia and Delaware.
Okay.
But no, it's pretty different. The truth is, so, in the last couple decades, Virginia has really undergone, like, a demographic shift, where Northern Virginia is politically really progressive, and then the rest of Virginia, and has a really dense population, and the rest of Virginia is still what a lot of people think of as Virginia, you know, more conservative. So a lot of people in the rest of Virginia will tell you Northern Virginia is Maryland now.
Yeah.
Because of, like, and, like, it's really...
I saw the Jon Stewart bit on the real Virginia and fake Virginia. Mm-hmm.
Well, that is definitely the kind of rhetoric that, like, you hear in Virginia.
Do you still hear that? That was, like, I saw that bit 6 years ago.
Well, so, to some extent, I understand, because for a lot of Virginians, where they're from didn't change at all, and then their state went from not voting for a Republican from 1964 to 2008, to voting for Barack Obama twice, two Democratic senators, two Democratic governors in a row. So I can understand, like, I think the real Virginia is awful rhetoric, because I don't think there's a real and fake
Virginia.
So when
they say real, they mean historic?
I think what they're responding to is that they haven't changed and their community hasn't changed, and all of a sudden, in a pretty short time period, mm-hmm. their state has gone from politically conservative to left of center.
Are those demographic changes, basically, people moved into the state?
Yeah, a lot of people. D.C. has really grown as, like, an economic city in the last mm-hmm. couple decades, and a lot of people have found it really attractive to live in Northern Virginia. And then you combine that with the rest of the demographic shifts going on in the country, and it just, you get a purple state out of it.
Is the economic growth in the D.C. area related to, like, the growth of lobbying?
Yeah, I don't want to get out of my depth, because I'm not 100%
okay,
sure.
Okay, well, just say, like, what you know, and don't pretend to know what you don't.
But I'm 100% sure that the reason it, no.
yeah.
No, but, I mean, there's a clear, since, like, the 1970s, when the federal government has been growing in power, there's been way more resources put into D.C., and so I think that it's a lot more law firms, it's a lot of lobbying.
Yeah,
and then,
that's
and,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, and it brings in other
that
industries,
brings in other,
too.
If you're bringing in 1,000 times as many lobbyists as you had 2 decades ago, then
mm-hmm.
that brings in 1,000 times as much of everything lobbyists need.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I was in D.C. for a wedding last summer,
mm-hmm.
and that is the worst place for a wedding during the summer. I don't know how you can even live in Maryland.
D.C. in the summer, well...
It was an outdoor wedding, and it was 99
degrees. Oh, are you saying
because
of the heat?
Yeah, it was so hot and so humid.
It's,
I had to wear a tuxedo.
Yeah, the humidity is, like, it usually hits 100%.
Yeah.
But I love it.
It's
like,
water. You're, like,
yeah,
swimming
it is.
Through it.
But that's, like, what I think summer should feel like.
Really? You actually enjoy it?
I love it.
Get
like, that's
the
what
fuck
I want.
Out
that's
right
what
now.
I want my summer to feel like. And yeah, 2 summers
ago, I can't tell if you're...
I'm 100% serious. I love
what?
It. It feels like summer to me. 2 summers ago, when I was in London studying abroad, we did, like, this little trip to, like, around a bunch of European cities, and we went to Venice, and in Venice, it was 95 degrees and 100% humidity, and
everyone was miserable.
And
you're like,
and
finally.
That was when I realized that I was like, oh, this is great. This is what I think
so
it's supposed
funny.
To feel like. Yeah, no, it is... It's miserable in Maryland and D.C. in the summer, but it's what I am used to.
Do you want an ice cube in your drink? I just left the ice cube tray out, so they're melting.
There is not much left in my drink, so I can
help. Do you want more to drink, or you're driving?
Yeah, I'm okay, just. Okay. I'll finish this without the ice cube. You feel free to put those ice cubes back in the freezer so they don't melt.
I think I'm gonna...
Okay, yeah, or get help yourself.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going out to bars later. I haven't decided. Should we go to trivia night?
Well, what time is it? It's already...
It's 8:48.
Well, if they go, I'd be down to join them. Because I like Chapter House Trivia for the content. They have good questions.
Oh, yeah.
But they take so long.
Yeah, you were giving me the rundown of the different trivia nights in College Town.
No, well...
The nines, they just ask silly questions.
Yeah,
the and nines, they don't care about the answers.
It's terrible.
They don't take their trivia night seriously.
Look, do I sound like a curmudgeon when I say this?
Yes.
Yes, I know. Yes, I do. That said, like, I want to win. I want a fair shot at winning.
Do they, like, crown a winner and give them something? Or is it just like,
I don't know,
okay, they won, and then
they do. But we stormed out the last time we were there.
You stormed out.
Stormed might be a strong way of putting that. We paid our bill and left.
Did you?
But, because they literally asked a question. So they've been asking stupid questions all night, and they've been awarding all these bonus points, and we were getting frustrated because we were doing well but not nearly winning. And then they asked a question... What was the Wikipedia featured article today?
Yeah.
And are you kidding? There's no clever way to deduce that. Did you go to Wikipedia today?
Do they give you time to get on Wikipedia on your phone?
You can't use your phone.
Oh, okay.
It's poor form.
Well, it's poor form asking a question that you can't answer.
I'd agree with that. But so, yeah, Nines is the worst, even though it's, like, the most popular. Chapter House, the questions are, like, tricky, but they're fun, but they take so long. But Mooney's Trivia on the Commons, that's the best.
What night is Mooney's?
Tuesday night? Yeah, Tuesday night.
Tomorrow night? You want to go?
Should we go? I think tomorrow night is
Chapter House.
Is the Senior Days rave, which I'm not going to enjoy, but I'm going to go to.
Why are you going to go to something that you're not going to enjoy?
Because it's like, everyone's going to be there.
If everyone jumped off a bridge, would you?
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, everyone.
There's probably a good reason to do it if everyone's doing it.
Why is everyone jumping off that bridge?
Yeah, I'm at least going to investigate.
Yeah, exactly.
And keep that option open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I've never done a trivia night. I've done, like, I don't know, like,
they're
in
great,
youth groups.
Because you can, like, drink with your friends and you can win something. Like, I'm not a super competitive person in general, but when it comes to trivia, I like it. Like, I want to win.
I know what I was saying. I was thinking of something.
Oh, yeah.
When you said that you stormed out of trivia night,
yeah.
I was picturing you guys, like, walking, like, waving your arms in a huff.
Yeah. That's accurate.
Yeah.
There's a lot of huffing.
So, when I was a senior in high school, we had, like, a big homecoming competition that went on for a week, and there were big performances and set design, and we decorated the school and did skits and stuff, and it was a really big deal. And then everyone comes to the homecoming game, and they announced the winner of the competition of the homecoming game. And it wasn't really a competition, historically. Like, it was seniors got first place, juniors got second place, sophomores got third place, and whatever.
Freshman
got fourth. What number was I at?
I should have been taking
sixth
notes on
or
that.
Something.
I didn't know the math.
And it was just like, as you moved up each year, then you move up a rank, and it was whatever. But for some reason, my senior year, they decided to turn it into a competition, which would have been fine because the seniors clearly did the best job. They had the most experience with it. They had the best actors, best set design. They gave the seniors last place. Freshmen got first place. The sophomores and juniors tied for second. And then they gave...
You guys got fourth.
Fourth place.
Yeah.
Nobody even got third place. And we got fourth place. So the entire senior class just stands up in unison, starts, like, screaming obscenities at the teachers that had decided it, and walked out of the football game at halftime. And then the next day, we, like, all wore black to school.
I thought there was going to be something like that. I love the, like, indignant high schooler.
Yeah. And then we
and
boycotted
I would have been leading that boycott. Like, I would have...
We boycotted the homecoming dance.
Nice.
And somebody with a big house threw a party at his house.
I would have been so, like, moral outrage, righteous indignation, that's my shit.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. I got really into it. I was like, oh, yeah.
Like, how dare they? Just get me talking about squirting. I will
really
outraged and indignant about everything.
I feel like it happens to me a lot that I get swept up in that stuff.
Yeah.
And it feels like powerful when you're a part of like a big mob like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I can't really do it on my own.
I really admire the people who can be like, guys, come on, this is stupid.
It was so stupid.
Because I don't have that ability most of the time. Like I will get sucked in and be like, What? Like, how dare they?
Did you have anything in high school like that?
I'm trying. It seems like.
Or at least any, like, senior unity. Did you have, like, a prank or
oh,
something?
Oh, yeah. Well, we had Spirit Week and, like, the senior class did stuff. Yeah, so the same idea for us. But I, like, so I was on student council every year in high school. Yeah. And so we had to run Spirit Week. And so Spirit Week was always stressful. Like, I hated it. So, like, senior year, I finally was like, I should enjoy Spirit Week. And I remember, like, liking it more.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know. It was never fun for me because I always felt stressed about, like, whatever I was planning. Even though I don't even know what I could have possibly been doing that was stressful. But, like...
What? You just got stressed out for
no reason. I got stressed because I was like, oh, no, I need to deliver the decorations or something yeah. like that.
Oh, you had a menial job. They were just like, follow these instructions.
I mean, I don't know if my jobs were menial by the scale of Spirit Week. Yeah. Like, they were probably the most important Spirit Week jobs.
Okay.
They were menial in the grand scheme of things. It was like when I was vice president of AEPI, I was stressed about every event. Like, just, is this how I, like, operate? Makes me do a good job on things, but I don't
think it made you
them.
Do a good job?
Yeah, I think it
does. I think every LT kind of gets stressed out at events.
I can't imagine doing a job and not being stressed. I wish I would tell myself to be less stressed in retrospect, and I think I am less stressed now than I used to be. But, like, if I have something to do, even if it's, like, a paper.
I get so stressed out about everything.
But it's, I don't think it's probably not healthy, but I think it also makes me do a good job, I think.
Do you get tunnel vision, like, if you have to write a paper, that is the only thing in your world that matters? Oh, my voice is cracking.
Well, I usually leave the paper until
12 hours before.
A point that I have to just do yeah. make it my world.
Right, but at that point, it's your world.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I'll go to the library and not come back till it's finished. But now so I know I have law school looming in the horizon one day, so I can't really be like I'm done forever. But
you can enjoy
I'm done
your,
for the foreseeable
break
future. Yeah. Like, I mean, my job will be stressful and, like, a lot of work, but it won't be, like, papers, you know, people grading me.
But then you'll go back to law school and it will be
And
like
it will
that.
Be exactly
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then do you want to, like, go into the corporate big law firm thing?
I don't think so, but I really don't know. Like, my goal is that in the time between now leaving undergraduate and the time I start law school, I'll know myself better mm-hmm. and have a better sense of what I want to do. I love law, but, like, there are times when I think about being a prosecutor or a judge, and I find that really exciting.
Right? I think being a judge would be the coolest
right?
shit.
But then there are also times when I think about, like, doing law for a company or a corporation or a law firm and think that it could be really intellectually stimulating. Like, so I really don't know what I want out of it. I know a lot of people who have law school just as, like, the way to get a professional degree when you got a liberal arts major. But I really do like law. I'm not worried that I'm doing it, like, that I don't have a genuine interest in it.
Okay.
I just don't know where I want to take that interest in law.
I don't know enough about you to tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about myself in general
mm-hmm.
to know anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I have read a lot of John Grisham novels.
Yes, as have I.
And I can tell you...
Go ahead.
I can tell you that if you don't want to go into the big corporate law firm, your grades matter less and you can enjoy law school a little bit more.
That's true. Especially if you want to be a folksy Southern lawyer that takes the right side of issues.
In Memphis and runs a newspaper on the side.
Yeah. Wait, I told you about this book. You haven't read the B.J. Novak
I haven't read
Another
it.
Thing or something
yeah,
like that.
I haven't read it yet.
I need to give you that book.
It's like
book.
His memoir, right?
No, it's short story. Short fiction.
Oh, I was thinking of Moshe Katcher.
Oh, no, B.J. Novak. But he has a short story called The Something by John Grisham.
and it's just a generic John Grisham story?
No, it's John Grisham. He opens up the newspaper one day and sees the announcement that that his book has already become a bestseller before it even came out. And his new book's
that's
called,
why it's called The Something.
No, the new book's called The Something.
Yeah.
And he calls his publisher and he's like, what happened? He's like, we thought you'd be happy. He's like, I didn't mean to name it The Something. I just wrote The Something and I was going to come back and title it. But it's really funny. It's B.J. Novak's
because all the titles are like,
it's all The Appeal, The Trial, things like that. Yeah.
The Street Lawyer.
Yeah.
The Firm.
The King of Torts.
I like The King of Torts.
Like
underrated book.
I thought we were playing a game where we were going to see who could name John Grisham novels.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
It was turning into a Tom Stoppard play for a second there.
Yeah.
Have you read any Tom Stoppard?
I've seen Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Yeah, so in Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead, there's the question game.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on for 10 minutes or something.
Have you ever seen the movie version? Or
I did see the movie version, and I read the book, but I didn't see the play.
I've seen a play in a movie, and the movie version's great when they're like
tennis. That's the best part. That's the best. So good. The movie.
We watched that in my freshman writing seminar, which was Shakespeare from stage to screen. Stage to screen. Yeah, it was great.
Actually, the first time I saw that movie, after that tennis scene, I was like, it can't get better from here. And I was watching my computer, and I turned it off, and I went on to something else. And I was like, nah, maybe it could get better. And I went back and finished it.
Yeah. What I always think about with that that movie was we had some presentation for that class about after the movie. And in a freshman writing seminar, you get, like, all sorts of people. And there was one kid who was a physics major. And what he chose to show was that the odds of the coin flip in that movie, you know how it's, like, heads an absurd amount of
times in a row. Right.
The odds of that happening that many times in a row were about equivalent to me putting my hand down on a table and it going through because the atoms and the entropy.
Yeah, right.
So, like, that's, I mean, and, but I was like, wow, that's something that, like, I would never have thought of, but I'm taking a Shakespeare class with a physics major and that's what he thought of. And I thought that was cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was meant to be something that actually happened.
It was a moment in time that kept happening. Yeah. Yeah, but I still thought it was an interesting point to make.
It was like Groundhog Day or something.
Yeah. I think they said something along the lines of it happened again.
That would be ridiculous if they did that whole scene where it landed on heads 200 times.
Yeah.
And they're like, it could happen, and then moved on from there.
Sure. I mean, it was all absurdist, but
I love absurdist stuff. Have you ever read Zoo Story by Edward Albee? He also wrote the Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Okay. I don't think so. I think we read something by him in my AP English class, but I can't remember what it was.
Okay, I'm going to maybe send you a copy of Zoo Story because it's the best of, like, anything I've ever read.
Yeah. I need something to read more, maybe longer if that's a short story, but for...
Do you actually need something to read? Because I have so many books.
I don't start my job till July 1st, and I'm going to be on a plane a few times. I need a book.
You have, like, a Kindle, though, don't you?
I like books. I don't like reading on the Kindle.
I will give you to read after this.
Okay. I know you go through a book a day, so you can't.
Book a week. Okay. Don't be ridiculous. I've been slow during the school year.
That's understandable.
It averages out to a book a week by the end of the year, but a lot of it's during breaks.
I can't read for pleasure during the school year. I took creative writing because it would force me to read fiction, and it did.
I read, like, a book a month during the school year. And it's not just fiction. I read... I include books that I have to read for school.
Okay.
As part of that. It's books I read cover to cover.
Yeah, and I don't do a whole lot of reading for school. I get assigned a lot of books for school, but... I've improved my habits this last year.
It got to the point this semester where one of my professors handed me a syllabus, and it had... just a ridiculous amount of reading on it. And I could have done some of it, even though it was ridiculous. But I just looked at it, laughed, put it in my backpack, and never looked at it again.
Yeah, it's amazing, like, the scale to which professors will, give you stuff to read.
It was Professor Kirshner. He wanted me to read over 200 pages a week.
Yeah.
Well, just for one class.
My Gov seminar, I took two, but one of them was... at least a fairly substantial book a week.
Yeah.
A couple hundred
pages.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I think a lot of them, when you're a grad student getting your PhD in government, like, I think you really do that.
For each class?
No, but I think they forget. Or maybe. I don't know.
I could do it if it were my only class.
Yeah.
But when four professors are
senior year, both of this basically was my only real class, and I still didn't quite do it.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah. So, if you're not reading, what do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun?
Yeah.
Well, I'm an avid runner.
That just sounded like I couldn't come up with what I was going to say.
Yeah, you can give some backstory if you want.
Max was in an interview, and he screwed up on the question, what do you do for fun?
They threw me a curve.
Yeah. And really, out of left field.
You
couldn't come up with anything.
I think it was an inappropriate and intellectually dishonest question to ask in an interview. How dare they try to get to know a
Did
person?
Did you get morally indignant on the phone with them?
I do that after every interview question, and then I answer the question. It's like, first, how dare you? Second, I'd say my strongest quality.
Ooh, I like the idea of a sketch where someone's interviewing, and after every question, the other person is either like that or just goes...
Yeah.
Like, you're wasting their time.
Yeah.
Like, someone will be like, oh, tell me how you work in a group. Okay.
Yeah. Except, like, they wouldn't say anything. Like, it would just be this, like, forced out exhale that they couldn't control. And then they would, like, force themselves back into the...
Yeah. In the First American University, the Cornell history class,
yeah.
They showed the clip where Andy Bernard is interviewing Dwight to get into Cornell.
My blood runs big red.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, I forgot.
I've seen that so many times.
Oh, you see, I don't think I've seen it since I watched it live on TV. It was
so we watched it on TiVo. My mom and I would watch The Office, like, the next day,
mm-hmm.
like, for the first few seasons.
Yeah.
And for that one, we thought it was so funny, because my mom went to Cornell,
mm-hmm.
and, like, she was so in love with it that she kept it on the TiVo for, like, months.
Yeah.
And would play that scene over and over.
Yeah.
It was, like, before YouTube, I guess.
It has nothing to do with Cornell at all, but that's how I was with the murder mystery episode of The Office. I could watch that episode
again. The murder mystery episode?
Oh, man, the episode, everyone is stressed out at the office for some reason, and it's when there are two managers, when Jim and Michael are both managers, and Michael decides to do a murder in Savannah, like one of those, like, Fox murder mystery sets.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that episode.
I remember that story arc where they're both managers, but I don't remember the...
Oh, man, go back and watch the murder. At one point, like, so you know what I'm talking about with the murder mystery, right? Where they, like, have you heard of these? Like,
party, I know what you're talking about.
Like, everyone gets a part.
Yeah.
And they just do it brilliantly with all these office actors getting really into their parts.
Okay.
But then Creed shows up late, and he's like, what's going on, boss? And Michael is like, there's been a murder. And Creed's like, oh, cool, I'm going to drop off my stuff, and I'll be right in. And he just flees, and, like, gets in his car and peels out.
That rings a bell.
Oh, everything Creed does in that show is brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's definitely the best supporting actor.
Yeah. They wrote so well for him.
Yeah.
I remember I was really into The Office in, like, early high school, and at one point they did, like, a blog for him. That was, like,
mm-hmm.
one of their things. Like, in the episode itself, Jim sets up a blog for him, or maybe it's Ryan, and what he does...
And then you can go online and see
he just
blog.
Posts a URL title at the top of a Word document, and Creed writes,
uh-huh.
and so they did it online, and it was really hilarious writing, and at the end of the first one, it was, like, all this, like, just nonsense, insane stuff, and then the last thing he wrote was, also, the Baltimore Orioles will win the World Series this year, and I'm an Orioles fan, and it was, like, really? That's their... Like, it was, like... That was so crazy that Creed would say it.
Do you think they would, like, had a rule that we will only give Creed really, really good lines? He's a minor character. We don't need to bring him in that much. Only bring him in when we've got something good.
It's true. People critique The Office a lot, especially in later seasons, but they did not lean on Creed as much as they might have and ruined him. They did a good job with him.
They kept him pristine. Yeah. But he also didn't come in that much. There would be whole episodes about him.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think that's a good point.
And whenever his face popped up, you knew something good was coming.
He's so
What's
good.
Your favorite cold open in The Office? Do you know?
Yeah. Let me think. Because Bears beats Battlestar Galactica is classic.
Yeah.
But, oh, I know.
It's so overused. It's on t-shirts. And...
I know, which is a shame. Like, not to sound like a hipster about The Office.
Yeah.
But
a primetime television show. Exactly. A primetime television.
It was literally the most watched comedy on NBC at one point during this. But when that happened, the next day my friend and I came in and we quoted. Like, we had rewatched it again and could do every line.
Yeah.
And then it took, like, a couple years before it became a big thing. Like, it was not. And so, like. I felt, like, so attached to that scene before it got huge. But I think the funniest cold open has to be the one that happened right after the Super Bowl that time, which was it was a fire drill where Dwight was doing a fake fire drill and, like, locked the door.
That's one of the best.
I remember just dying watching that. Like, Angela throws her
cat comes
Kevin runs to the vending machine, smashes it, and starts to... Like,
that's my number two cold open.
It's so good.
For sure.
Like,
my number one is... When, like, I don't remember who it was, but I think four of the guys were doing parkour.
Parkour, yeah.
And they are doing it. They think parkour is just jumping on tables.
Yeah.
And the best part is they say
parkour
10,000 times in the 30-second cold open.
No, that's
parkour. And they, like, finally decide to do some real parkour, and they're, like, jumping off a garbage truck onto a pile of cardboard boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, like, plunge right through the... box and, like, break their leg.
Yeah, no, it's it.
That's my number one favorite.
Yeah.
I just fucking lost it when I saw that.
Yeah, did you keep watching The Office till the end?
Yeah, I saw the whole thing.
Yeah, I did too, and it floundered. It's tough to write for comedy for that long, But I thought the last season was strong. Maybe I'm just...
I was happy with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like...
I thought the finale was a perfectly good finale.
Yeah, and it's like, did you watch How I'm... Are you a How I Met Your Mother person?
I am. 6 episodes from the end.
You see, I hadn't seen a single episode until... of this season, of the last season, until I finished my exams. And then I felt like...
You finished your exams like 2 days ago, you're saying?
Yeah, like a couple days ago.
Like Thursday.
So on last Thursday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a couple days ago. And
You just binge watched.
I just was like, you know what? Let's get this done with. I haven't liked this show in 3 seasons, but God damn it, I'm gonna do my homework. So I watched the end. I mean, I won't give anything away other than to say I was extremely disappointed by the ending.
Oh, really?
But here's the thing. I've been extremely disappointed by How I Met Your Mother for seasons.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so why did I think much. The ending was gonna be better?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the same with like.
So maybe if people like those.
You'll see
4th, 5th, and 6th seasons, then they'll like the ending.
They had a bold ending, so yeah.
Okay, here's how I feel about the final season
of How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother. Yeah. So far that I've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's not as high quality as other How I Met Your Mother. I think that's definitely true, but I appreciate how experimental and risky they're willing to get in the final season of a long run in. Like, pillar of television TV show.
So I watched it with no time for reflection. I just blazed through it, so that might have an impact on it. But I thought it was better overall than some of the past seasons have been. How I Met Your Mother, I was very skeptical to get started. I didn't want to watch a sitcom with a laugh track. And then I started it.
I don't know. I forget about the laugh track when I'm watching How I Met Your Mother.
I don't forget
it. It's the only one I watch with a laugh track, and I can totally handle
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it eats away at it for me.
Community doesn't have a laugh track, does it?
No.
Yeah, so I watch Community, New Girl.
I haven't gotten into New Girl. I've seen a couple episodes, and I thought they were funny, but it hasn't grabbed me. I love Parks and Rec. Parks and Rec is my favorite comedy that's still on.
New Girl isn't consistently good, but there are some gems. And I can just send them to you if you want, because they're just amazing episodes.
Yeah, so, but I thought this episode, Sherry Shepherd, you've gotten to her in the show, she's black and with Marshall.
Yeah, she's driving.
I couldn't remember, like, yeah, she, I thought.
Did she only appear in the final season?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm 6 episodes from the end, so I've seen her for a while.
Yeah, well, you've seen her for a while in this season.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I think she's good, so, like, I think they have some good elements in the last season, but... And I think that I think that Neil Patrick Harris and Jason Segel are amazing. You know, like I haven't watched them, but
I'm surprised Neil Patrick Harris hasn't gone on to better stuff.
I just heard, and this is me repeating something that someone told me, so I have no verification.
Let's
for this.
Roll down the rumor mill.
But I hear he's gay. No, I hear that he was considered for the David Letterman spot. That it might have even been offered to him. Someone told me it was offered to him.
Oh, I heard that too.
Oh, did you? I've only heard it from one person, which I think is interesting. I'm glad he's not doing that because I think he's such a talented actor, and I think that
Colbert took Letterman.
Yeah, I think it's. I'm a little disappointed by that too, but.
I think that's going to be interesting because Colbert is a character.
Well, on
his
show,
he's not a comedian. He's a character.
But I don't think I mean. Every actor, every comedian, every, like, host is a character to some extent, but...
He's a character.
No, but
I'm
saying...
I'm sorry.
I don't think he's going to be a character when he hosts the...
He's going to be Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
The man.
Yeah, no, we've never seen him do that.
Yeah.
But he's hilarious.
I'm saying, like, for audiences, it's going to be a weird transition. If they're watching it for Stephen Colbert, like, they were watching the Colbert Report for the last 7 years, they want to keep seeing Colbert every night.
Yeah, but I don't think... I mean, I think we see... We see him. I think we do have a good sense of him from the show. It's just that
I don't think
so at all.
He's a character.
He's a character, but I don't know. I feel like I've also seen him interviewed a lot, and like I think I
okay
know
when he's
Colbert.
Doing the interviews, it's
but okay. So have you heard him on Terry Gross?
I haven't heard him on Terry Gross. I don't listen to Terry Gross
on
the radio.
Don't say it like that. I thought I was talking to a broadcast professional.
She came on the radio,
should know the great Terry Gross, Ira Glass.
Actually, I only listen to Lakshmi Singh. Who's that?
She's a reporter for NPR.
Okay. I can go on. I like Freakonomics with Stephen Dubner as part of Marketplace.
I don't really like the Freakonomics podcast, and like that's like they put that into it. I'm not even.
It's part of Marketplace
with Kai Ryssdal.
Yeah, I like. Kai Ryssdal.
Kai Ryssdal's okay.
I've got nothing against her. You know, I just don't listen to NPR stuff that much.
Yeah, I'm so into NPR. But anyway,
I do This American Life.
Yes,
that's my main
it's
one.
It's great.
And I do Freaking Arms.
Yeah. But wait, what were we saying? Terry Gross.
Did you just call me a broadcast professional?
I came here because I was promised to be interviewed. You know how many other things I had to turn down for this? Someone was playing beer pong, and I said, no, I'm going to go to the house to do a podcast. There was talk of trivia.
Talk of trivia.
You know we were playing the Family Feud video game at my house right now.
Okay, can we talk about how ridiculous this video game is?
You're way too critical. It's a great game.
I'm totally okay with having a game show video game. I think that's a great game show. Family Feud is a great game show. Just the idea of the video game being typing on a television with a Wiimote as quickly as you can is such a dumb game mechanic.
Wait, so what would you change?
I don't know. Use a keyboard or something.
Oh, yeah. No, a keyboard would vastly improve this. But it's on the Wii. Like, they're using what they got.
Or give you, like, 16 selections on screen, and you choose one of them.
No, that would ruin it.
It would ruin the game, but also having it just, like, having the game mechanic be type as quickly as possible.
Well, you get with good a at Wiimote. Typing.
I had to hold my hand, like, I was holding my right wrist with my left hand just to stabilize.
Well, a lot of other people can manage a Wiimote.
I have a Wii. So the joke at the time when the Wii came out is that the Japanese word for two, if they were to make a Wii 2, is ni. So it would be Wii-nee.
Ah, I missed that one.
Did you guys not make tons of Wii jokes when it came out?
I don't.
There was like a good 8 weeks straight of just
I remember a lot of people making iPad jokes, like pads, like tampons.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't remember
that was
people making
sketch, I think.
Wii stuff. Yeah. I don't know. The Wii, I feel like the Wii didn't really permeate. I felt like I was a little old for it. I'm not a video game person in the least, also. I owned a PS2 and an N64. That's it.
My favorite joke that came out after the iPad was an Onion article mm-hmm. that was about Apple creating a device for every demographic.
Oh, no.
So there were the people who use a phone, the iPad's for people who don't have a phone or something, or like it's for people who don't have a computer, and then they were making just a box that did nothing for people who don't want electronics.
Yeah. Yeah, the Onion is really good.
Yeah.
That's not a bold statement, but it is.
you like the Onion?
I do. I like The Onion and NPR, and I'm working on a campaign, and I like granola. I don't really like granola that much, but it just
seems what's this bit you're doing right now?
Like, liberal, college,
oh, okay.
College liberal, intellectual.
Yeah, what do you think of my my magazine?
What magazine?
The liberal issue of The Lunatic, the Recycle This issue.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I actually liked it. I thought there was a lot of good in it. Now I wish I could remember the specific things, but there was some stuff
I have 30 copies of you.
No, don't do that.
We can narrate every article.
I really don't need to see that again. Yeah. But no, there's some really funny stuff.
Yeah. I would have gone for there. Yeah, can I take it with me? I'm running out of toilet paper, so that would be that would get me through graduation.
Gotcha. Kindling to heat my house.
Oh. I had some friends in high school who they smoked and we had this, like...
Marijuana?
Yeah.
Okay.
And...
That was illegal where I was from, so...
It was illegal.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But someone came to school, like, proselytizing, and they were handing out Bibles. And they were, like, the stoners, like, grabbed as many as they could.
Yeah.
For rolling paper,
yeah.
Yeah, they were, like, it's the perfect size, the texture's great, it's sacrilegious, which is exactly what we wanted.
I like the idea that they're really self-aware. Like, look, we're high schoolers. We want attention. You know, this fits perfectly with what you would expect a high school stoner who wants to tell you about socialism.
I only know about one thing in this world, and that's marijuana. So if somebody comes to the school with Bibles, I need to relate it to what I know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm relating it to what I know. Drugs.
Are you up on Mad Men?
Oh, I saw the pilot.
Are you kidding me? How have you not watched Mad Men?
I saw the pilot.
How dare you read a book a week and yet not watch Mad Men?
How dare you engage intellectual pursuits
Oh, man.
And not...
If you think Mad Men's not an intellectual pursuit...
Max, I watch so much television as it is.
Yeah, but...
Not, Game of Thrones.
But you're missing
Silicon
the
Valley,
best show on television.
How I Met Your Mother. Not really.
Yes, you are.
Community, not really.
Mad Men is the best.
You know what my thing is?
What?
Parks and Rec, just all day.
It's so good.
On Netflix. I'm just bombing through it on Netflix.
You're watching a Netflix show, and it's not Mad Men.
I watch Netflix dramas that aren't Mad Men.
What are you watching? What?
I watch House. I watch Fringe. Dexter.
I guess I overestimated you.
Do you not like any of those shows?
I watched House for a couple seasons.
Oh, I watched like 10 episodes of it. It got really repetitive really quickly.
Watch Mad Men. It's brilliant. It's so good.
House of Cards.
Have you watched The Wire? I know I have to go through the list.
Have you?
I need to.
Okay.
Check your credentials.
Have you seen the Simpsons bit on? Or no, it's Family Guy. Family Guy bit on
The Wire.
On it was on Breaking Bad.
No.
So, Peter's watching, like Breaking Bad's about to come on. He sits down in front of the television. He's like, "Oh, I'm so excited for Breaking Bad." And then like commercial ends. Breaking Bad starts, and all it says on screen, with a narration that's identical, is Breaking Bad is the greatest show ever. Breaking Bad is the greatest show ever. Breaking Bad is the greatest show since The Wire. And then it cuts to Peter, like, shooting the shit with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "Oh, did you see the episode of Breaking Bad last night? Oh, it's so good. Breaking Bad is the greatest show since The Wire."
Yeah. But here's the thing. The problem is it is. And Mad Men and The Wire are as good as people say.
Did you see True Detective?
No. What is that?
It's that HBO show?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, that's like the big show now.
I'm not...
Are you not... You don't keep up with whatever the biggest show is?
I don't watch a lot of TV during the school year. I'm too busy not reading my books.
Yeah.
But
okay, if you don't read your books, you don't watch too much TV, you don't have fun of it.
I guess you're asking, what do I do for fun?
I'm asking, what do you do for fun?
People to watch Mad Men and The Wire. Like, that's why I had so much trouble with that question. I froze. I'm like, I don't know. Somehow I fill my days.
Yeah, I mean, like, what if you had said, like, "Oh, have you ever seen Breaking Bad? What do you do for fun? Have you ever seen Breaking Bad?
I mean, the most honest answer would have been, like, if I have free time, I watch really good television and I drink with my friends. Like, that's... And that would have been a better answer than freezing and talking about running.
So when I was at your house before, I texted Jeremy, "Where are you?" Because he lives there and I wanted to say hi. And he just texted me back over an hour later, IN.MEG.SBED.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy was on...
I think it's I'm in Meg's bed.
In Ben's bed.
I'm in Meg's bed, yeah.
Yeah. He was intoxicated previously today, to an extreme degree. So I understand that text.
You guys went to like four wineries?
We went to four wineries. It was great. It was beautiful out. And I didn't drink that much. Like, I drank like
wine. I don't think I've ever seen you drunk.
I don't show very, like.
I've seen your face get red. Like, that's it.
My face is always red.
Yeah, it's true.
It's hard to tell when I'm drunk, which is a good thing, I think. Except that, I don't know. I was thinking about this the other day, because on the one hand, if people know you're drunk and you say something stupid, they'll be like, "Oh, he's drunk." But for me, they're just like, "Wow, Max is really being an idiot."
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But yeah, and I
just
don't
acting
show it
stupid.
I was once, junior year, I was in college town at 218 with, like, Klein and Sussy.
Yeah, 218.
218
Delaware
where
yeah.
they lived.
I'm going to be living across the street.
Okay, yeah.
209 Delaware.
Cool. Isn't it the Blue House?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, so I was there and I was very drunk and I can't remember the details, but Sussy was trying to get him to drive my car back so then it would be back at the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was like, "Just give me your keys. I'll drive your car."
Yeah.
And I didn't understand what he was doing, but I'm like, I don't want Sussy driving my car.
Yeah.
So I refuse.
Yeah.
So then they drove me back in their car, maybe that's what happened.
And just dumped
And so
you.
And then I came here. And then the next day I was talking to them, I'm like, "Oh, now I see what you're saying. It would have made so much more sense if you had driven your car," or something like my car. And they're like, "Yeah, why didn't you do that?" I was like, "Oh, I was really drunk." And they're like, "We had no idea. If you had just been like, 'I'm driving,' we would have been like, 'Oh, yeah, go for it.'"
Why did Sussy want to drive your car?
I can't remember the details.
That makes no sense.
But it's for some reason what he was suggesting did make sense.
Okay.
But I was not understanding it.
Yeah.
And then the next day I told them and they were like, "We had no idea you were drunk." Yeah.
I like the idea of you being, like, looking sober in every way, but in one way behaving drunk, so you just look like an fucking idiot.
Yeah, well, that's truly what happens.
But you, it's
I
not
usually
like you,
sweat a
it's
lot.
It's not like you didn't
too.
Say anything. It's not like you said anything stupid. Like, you just didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah, but I definitely do say dumb things when I'm
drunk.
Like
the idea of, like, someone just walking around, it's totally sober, like, where we are right now.
Yeah, just talking.
And then just, like, goes up to someone and just, like, pancakes!
Well, that's a mental disability, and
right.
You shouldn't laugh.
Yeah,
but,
right, but, like, an otherwise normal person.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean, like, they're normal.
You're describing someone
okay.
with a mental handicap.
They, I'm saying they don't have a mental handicap.
They've been drinking a lot of alcohol, but they don't show any signs of drinking alcohol.
I think that somebody with a mental handicap would show other signs of having a mental handicap.
Maybe.
I like the idea of someone, like, standing tall, walking around, and then saying, pancakes!
Yeah, no, I think you were describing something that is insensitive to the differently able.
All right, let me ask you a question. Speaking of alcohol, do you feel like it's like a like an immature college thing that you're going to tone
yes.
down after college?
100%.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you going to stop completely?
No, I didn't mean like I'm 100% going to stop drinking, but I think that, like, I'm not, like, I think that the social acceptability of being drunk is going to go way down after I graduate, and I'm fine with that. I don't need to get that drunk. Like, it's fine now, but...
I've heard a lot of people feel like they can kind of make it through college pretty well drunk half the time.
Yeah.
And, like, college, as much as we complain about finals being stressful, is really not that demanding.
I wouldn't go that far, that it's not that demanding. I think that...
I mean, people party sometimes 4 nights a week, or 3 nights a week, and do okay.
Yeah,
can you imagine
I don't do
doing
that,
that
but
with
like,
a full-time job?
No, but
you'd
also...
get so burnt out.
So I think it's a very different schedule. I think that a lot of people in the working world, they work really hard, and then at 6 o'clock, they leave their office and they go home, and they don't have to think about work at all until
yeah,
the next
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And on Fridays, they don't think about work for 2 days.
Yeah.
And that's something that we do not do in college. At college, every moment that we are drinking, there is something we should be working on. Or at least for me, that's how I feel. Like, every party, I'm like... I could be writing this paper. I could
from,
be studying.
From the moment I arrive on campus to the moment I turn in my last paper or turn in my last final,
yeah,
I have responsibilities that I need to be taking
exactly.
care of at
And obviously, in the
but
real
I,
world, you have responsibilities too. But I do think that's a very different timetable that really wears on you. And like, partying 4 days a week, up until senior year, I don't think I ever would have done that. And even now, that would be a really rare case. Like, it's... There are definitely more days where I went to the library every day of the weekend than days where I felt like I could party every day of the weekend. And I didn't have a very demanding schedule this year. I had classes I had to work for, but it wasn't like... I wasn't taxing myself as much as I have at the other years of college.
Okay, I have a follow-up question.
Yeah.
Not related to drinking.
Okay.
But related to this idea that it's taxing just trying to, like, force get yourself to work when nobody's really placing those demands on you at that time.
Okay.
Right? Like, you have to, like, build your own schedule, give yourself structure, and if you don't, it can get pretty stressful. Right?
Sure.
And even if you do, to some extent, it's not going to be as structured as if you're at a job at an
yeah.
office.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Okay. So my question is, like, do you think the benefits of having the freedom of a college student outweigh those? Just on a purely, like, let's use stress as our metric. There might be other benefits, but do you think it...
I think that, first, I think it's always going to be a grass is greener situation, where this
you can point to the benefits of something
yeah,
else.
This
say,
idealized
oh, well,
thing that I have in my head
yeah.
of checking out at 6 p.m. in the
yeah.
is like, realistically, is that going to be the case? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to come home and have chores to do
yeah.
and projects that you need to take care
of. I'll start going to bed early and...
Oh like, my god, I went to bed at 9:15.
You sleep constantly.
I don't sleep more than 10 hours a night.
I rest my case. That is an absurd amount for, like, a human.
I'm biphasic right
they're,
now.
They're
I,
probably,
I take a nap every single day.
I don't know what this means.
Biphasic? It means
yeah.
you have 2 sleep phases.
You sleep twice a day, and
yeah.
one of those times is 10 hours.
No. 10 hours total. No, never more than 10 hours total.
Great. Never more than 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I have, like, 7 hours one night, I might get... Or 7 hours 2 nights in a row, I might get 10 hours.
Wow.
After that.
That's a lot of sleep for a college student. You know that, right?
Is it really?
Yes. That is an absurd amount for a college student, at least based on my anecdotal evidence. I don't pretend to be an expert.
Maxwell Schechter.
Yeah.
I'm only going to ask you this one more time. If you don't sleep, if you don't read, if you don't watch too much television,
it is the mystery.
If you don't do anything for fun, what is it you do?
That is an excellent question. I appreciate the persistence with which you are pursuing
it. Every topic we've brought up is like, I really don't do that that much.
I don't know the answer. Where does the time go? I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
I'm going to walk in on you in your room one time, and you're just going to be lying on your bed, staring at the ceiling, catatonic for 6 hours.
No, I think I'm going to be making, like, model trains. Yeah. And you're going to be like, damn it, you know my secret.
You found out.
I do this 16 hours a day. Yeah, no,
I think it's hilarious that you can't even answer this question. It's like, I don't even
What
know.
Do I do?
What do I...
I go to class.
I wake up early. class. I eat. Obviously.
Generally, twice to three times a day.
Okay, you eat less than average.
Yeah, no, I don't. I never eat breakfast. I said three times just because I didn't want you to push up. But
okay,
no,
so
I eat twice a day.
Every main daily activity that people do, you do less than most people.
Yeah, there's clearly,
every single one.
There's a variable here that's not being added up, and I can't put my finger on it. Did I mention I run?
Yeah. Do you even run, or were you just making that up on the spot?
No, I really do run.
Okay. I actually went on an amazing run today.
Oh, yeah,
it's like the best run I've been on in years.
And around here? I love I love running in Cayuga Heights.
That's usually where I run.
Yeah.
But I went up to, like, Plantations and the area. Yeah. There are, like, a bunch of nice trails, just, like, along the lake and along, Warren Hall. Up on the agriculture quad.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
It's like next to the plantations.
Nice building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of like nice trails that all kind of connect to each other.
I took walking tours as my PE, so I know that area pretty well.
Walking tours as your PE.
Yeah.
How does that work? That somebody just takes you around and...
Yeah, this great woman who's like a super...
Does she talk about the campus?
And like way less than I would have liked.
What's the tour element of it?
The fact that you're looking as you walk. The woman also teaches meditation, and so it was kind of like meditative walking.
Yeah.
Course. If you had a good...
Did you walk in silence?
A lot more silence than is comfortable.
Oh, I wouldn't think it would be like, she's talking the whole time.
Oh, no. So if you took this class with a good friend, it'd be great.
Would it be acceptable to talk with them?
Yeah.
While you were...
No, I ended up meeting a kid who was a freshman who actually was from my hometown... And he's really into politics, so the odds of all that is
weird.
But and we had really good conversations, usually about Maryland politics.
Okay.
But I took it because I was planning on taking handguns as my PE last semester. I needed one to graduate.
Okay, and you wanted to do the opposite.
No, the class got canceled because the police officer who teaches the class couldn't come in on Fridays.
Uh-huh.
But they canceled
it. He couldn't come in sober on Fridays.
Yeah. they canceled it so late in the semester.
That everything else was
full
up?
Nearly everything was full. And my mom was like, you need to take a PE this semester, because if you don't, somehow this will end up with you not graduating.
But this was last semester?
This was last semester. So I had a whole other semester.
Just for her sanity.
But she was insistent.
Yeah.
And I understand. So,
the situation you just described is the only way I would ever have taken walking tours.
If I had a friend in it, it would have been really nice. It was good. I can tell you that the weather was actually nice enough every Thursday last semester when I walked.
That works out great.
It never rained on a Thursday. Isn't that crazy?
Okay.
Last semester when I was walking.
It got snowy towards the end. Or did you stop the class?
The class ended eventually.
Yeah. Oh, it didn't go on forever. And ever.
Wow, thanks for picking up on that.
I nitpicked
that
a little
there.
Yeah.
But
I thought it would be a better joke.
But
than
this semester, I did take the handguns class.
Okay, so you got to take it.
So the story has a happy ending.
Yeah. Cool. I did it like a reverse of. So you came into that class really late?
No. I just missed one class. But
okay.
It just started kind of late, I think.
Freshman year, I was taking conditioning and swimming.
Wow.
Yeah, because I'm going to do a triathlon this summer, and I was planning on doing it that summer.
Okay.
But,
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, right? I'm planning on doing
it. Yeah, exactly.
I can plan.
I got so
Anybody
many plans.
Can plan. So I was doing conditioning swimming, and I was going twice a week, And it's intense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're swimming hard for...
That sounds miserable.
45 minutes. And...
I hate swimming.
And, like, three-quarters of the way through the semester, the teacher comes up to me, and she's like, "Are you Daniel?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." She's like, "You're not in this class."
Well, but suppose she knew your name. That would have been my first.
So she's like, "If you want to keep coming and get credit, you need to sign up and pay." And I was like, "No, thank you."
Wait.
I just walked out and never came back to the class.
Why didn't you do it if you'd already put in the time? Like,
because I didn't want to pay.
But did you not know you had to pay for BEs?
I thought I had signed up.
But then, upon finding that you hadn't signed up, why didn't you just sign up?
Because I'd already gotten to take the class for the... Like, I took three quarters of the class for free.
But you could have been down a PE credit. Like, you would have...
No, I've taken five PEs now.
Oh, wow.
I've taken four besides that.
Wow. Does the podcast audience know what you look like? So they don't think that you're some sort of super...
Is that the weirdest thing ever to take... Four PEs?
Every semester I thought about taking a PE, but I only took...
This is the first semester I'm not taking one.
Interesting. That's good.
And I'm still exercising every day. I just wanted to do it on my own. So. Okay.
Good you got that in there.
Yeah. I'm actually super built.
Yeah,
the pecs, the abs.
Mm-hmm.
Those are parts of the body.
Yeah.
Things
I am aware of in other people. Where
so you just never signed up for the class and started going.
Yeah, and then they were like... It wasn't even a lot of money. I think we're talking about, like, $30 or something. I would have to go to, like, four more classes. And I was I'm out.
That makes you sound like the weirdest kid.
Does it really?
Because think about the rest of the class being like, "Hey, did you hear about that Daniel guy coming?"
Yeah.
Apparently he wasn't in the class. And then he refused to pay.
Yeah.
And he wants to...
I felt like I got the benefit of the class without... having to pay.
Sure, but you could go swim anytime if you had a gym pass.
I didn't know that at the time. I didn't have a gym pass.
Okay. So
and
you really were good.
It was cheaper for me to take the class than to get a gym pass.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have such massive pecs, so it didn't even make
sense.
Yeah,
but they were getting in the way. You know, that's how big your muscles were.
Yeah, I would have paid to not have a gym pass.
Yeah.
Just to keep my muscles in check.
Because if you have that gym pass, you gotta go.
Yeah.
That's
right.
Yeah.
All right, that is the hour. I don't want to keep you longer.
No, it flew by.
Do you want to go to the bars tonight, or
let's see? I'd be down to see if people... Yeah, I'd go to the bars if people are there already. It's only 9:30.
Yeah.
The only thing we're late for
is... It's a little past my bedtime.
Yeah, it's true. How are you going to get your 14 hours in?
I actually didn't take a nap today. I tried, but I couldn't fall asleep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not surprising, considering
I got... Dude, I got over 7 hours last night.
My mom's been trying to call me. I'm sure that's...
You're less than 8 hours.
Okay.
Important. It was great talking to you. Thanks so much for coming by.
Oh, no, thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah.
I don't know who would want to listen to the conversation.
Nobody listens to it.
Sure, but, I mean, who would want to?
Here's my philosophy of podcasting.
Yeah, I'm curious
right
about
now.
This, yeah.
Like, why am I doing this if nobody's listening to it? Is that... Like,
that wasn't really my question, but you can answer that question.
So, I think it's... I like having the conversations with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it both gives me a reason to, like, sit down... Get rid of distractions and, like, have a conversation with someone.
Yep.
I did not say that on purpose, but
really?
I realized after. Yeah. And then the second reason is I feel like when people have a microphone in front of them, they're a little more on their game, if that makes sense.
So you just are sick of talking to your friends and having them be idiots. You're like,
yeah.
Up your game a little bit.
That's
idiot. Exactly
it. Yeah.
Like, I don't hear your B material.
I found a tricky way.
This is just us hanging out, but you would like me to be try to be a little funnier.
It's not just you. It's like it's also me.
You just wish everyone were a little funnier.
I know. I think people enjoy having.
No. So what I was really asking was, what do you think your audience is?
There's no audience.
No, but who theoretically would want to listen to the two of us talk?
Maybe other guys in A-Pi. Friends and family.
I think they're pretty sick of us.
Yeah, for I don't know about you, but they're sick of me.
Yeah.
No, friends and family right now.
Okay.
And I also think I don't know, it's going to be on the internet, and in 10 years, if you want to listen back to it and be like, this is a full conversation I had with my best friend, Daniel Lewis.
I agree. My and best you friend just have the world. Ability to rewrite history right there. I have many other friends. DSL is an acquaintance at best. For the First American University class, the Cornell History course, I use a lot of old yearbooks.
Uh-huh.
And then this year's yearbook, I have a good friend of mine whose picture is the wrong person in the yearbook. Like, it has her name.
Oh, and there's a somebody picture else's
of
photo.
A different Asian girl also.
Oh.
It looks a little bit like
Do you think
her,
there was,
really.
Like, a white person making the yearbook and they're like, I can't tell the difference.
No,
between
I think what probably happened was when you do the yearbooks, you sign up, like, you sign your name and all these people are, like, you're just, like, funneled through.
Yeah.
And I bet a guy there was like, which one was Johanna? Oh, this one.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking was that, like,
these old yearbooks, that could have totally happened.
Like, I could yeah. be, there are all sorts of things.
So it's not the winners write the history books, it's people.
It's the typos.
Yeah.
No, but, so I was just thinking, like, I agree that it'll be cool one day to have this conversation. But what sort of lies did we tell?
10 years is a long time. But like I listened back to the David Shryman episode from October,
mm-hmm.
about a month ago, and it was fun to listen to it even a few months later.
Yeah. Well.
But yeah, don't get the idea that anybody listens to this. That's
oh no, crazy. I no, I was just curious of what you thought, like who you thought might listen one day.
I've been posting them on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I think they get a couple listens, but definitely nobody stays through for the hour.
Oh, man, that would be painful. I was here, and I barely stayed interested for an hour.
Okay, it was nice having you. Now get out.
Yeah, let me shit on what you're doing a little more. But no, but it was, thank you for having me.
Oh, what do you think of this? This is like a Nerdist thing. At the end of the Nerdist, Chris Hardwick either says it, or he has one of his guests say, enjoy your burrito, and it's just nonsense.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's the sign that the episode is over. And and Pete Holmes, who does a similar style podcast, says, keep it crispy or something.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the idea of me, like, copying that idea? And
I think
having a phrase that we say at the end of the episode.
I think having something is a great idea. Like, I wouldn't take one of their phrases.
I'm not going to say, like, keep it crispy.
I don't know.
Yeah. Or it'd stay crispy, I think.
Yeah. Have you heard the Kevin Pollak chat show?
No. Is it a good one?
He's a comedian, Kevin Pollak, and an actor.
Okay.
And an impressionist. He's amazing. He gets amazing guests, and he's one of the best interviewers I've
ever
heard.
Does he get A-list people?
Yeah. Okay. But he also will do comedians that I love that other people haven't heard of.
Okay.
Look up Kevin Pollak chat show.
Sure.
But he has this joke. He has this game that they play called the guy with the suspenders, the old newscaster.
Oh, Larry King.
Larry King. They have the Larry King game where you do a bad Larry King impression,
uh-huh.
you say something that no one wants to hear Larry King say, and then you throw it to a fake city, like, something about, like, my sex life. Ypsilanti, Michigan, you're on the air. Like, so, like, that's their sign-off. So having a good sign-off, like, thing would be a good idea. But I don't think you have one.
Do you have any ideas?
What should you say? Or you could have, like, the question, like, a super pretentious...
what do you do for fun?
inside the actor's studio style, like, questions that he always ends the show with. Or you could just ask, what do you do for fun? It would be a terrible way to answer to end the episode, because people are like, really? I thought we were...
We can get back into the conversation now.
No, I don't know. I don't think you're going to come up with something for this week, but in the future, it's something to work on.
Okay.
That would be my advice. Unless you have something right here you want me to say.
I don't have anything. I only thought of it just now when we were ending the podcast.
Well.
I'll keep thinking about it. Let me know if you have anything. And listeners, if you've listened through this far, you can send an email to dsethlewis@gmail.com with your idea for what you want at the end of each episode.
If you've listened this far, could you tweet me at Max Schechter? SCHECHTER, and explain why you've listened this far. I'm just really curious to get some feedback.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thanks, DSL.
I don't like have a good one. That's not a good ending.
No, it's not, but good luck with
that.
I'm
just ending the podcast.
How about good luck with that?
Good luck with that.